Amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you.
Praise the living, loving Lord. You know the devil don't like it tonight. Anytime you're lifting up the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, the devil's going to give us a fight. So we just bind his hand right now. We bind his works, because Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. We come against every wicked spirit of Satan right now. We bind it up, every principality and power, we bind it up right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not stop this broadcast or interfere in this broadcast. Lord, we ask God, we dispatch angels of the Most High God around every person that is trying to call in. We thank you, Lord, that you make a way for them to call in and stream in, and we bless your holy name. We lift you up and honor you tonight. I am Seer Evangelist Linda Kazris, and I'm honored tonight to have this special broadcast, because you know our usual night for broadcasting is Thursday night. But you're listening to Gatekeepers Global Podcast, which the Lord has made. Hallelujah. This platform is just to lift him up and give him praise. And I really believe that the body of Christ should have more thought and more in mind about this Passover season. We have one more day of the 7 days of Passover, and we know that we lift up the lamb slain before the foundation of the Lord of the world, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, every day, for shedding his blood for us, for saving us, for forgiving us of our sins. And we know that the Orthodox Jews all over the world and in Israel, they celebrate these 7 days a little differently because they have not accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as yet. So I have been keeping a mind stayed on Christ during these 7 days and all that Passover means to him and to his people. And we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I just thought that song was appropriate because God has poured out his mercy and his grace upon us during this season to keep us well, to keep us protected, to keep us with our mind stayed on him. Hallelujah. What an old song for a new time that this is. Your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mercy and the grace that God has had on people that have beat this virus, that have been attacked by it and have survived and come out healed, and they don't even know Christ. Hallelujah. But we're going to give him glory, honor, and praise right now. Hallelujah. Just for 5 seconds. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We lift you up. We thank you for those you healed that don't even know you. You fed people that didn't know you. Hallelujah. You opened their eyes that didn't know you. You healed people that didn't know you, God, and then they came to know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you. We bless your name. We honor you tonight. I'm just honored to have Prophet Jermaine on again tonight, Apostle Jermaine, and Minister Prophet Chadwick and Bishop Bronson. I'm hoping that you have your elements ready and that you have prepared your heart to receive communion tonight. I'm excited, and because I have such around-the-world global listeners, I just thought that I should give them a shout-out tonight because I don't ever know really where they're streaming in from. It's too expensive for them to dial in from other countries, so I'm just going to give them a shout-out during this season. Trinidad, Tobago, Netherlands, Australia, China, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru, Bangladesh, Togo, France, Germany, South Korea, Ireland, Norway. We just bless God for you tuning in tonight or whatever time zone you're in when you stream in, even at another time. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for by his Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, drawing you to this broadcast. Trinidad, Ghana, Sweden, Israel, London, the UK, Canada, Republic of Serbia, South Africa, Egypt, Vietnam. We thank you for joining us. Thailand, Dubai, Pakistan, Belgium, Kenya, Tanzania, Philippines, India, New Zealand, Nigeria, Malaysia. We plead the blood of Jesus over these nations right now. We're going to talk about the Passover lamb tonight. We thank you for joining us in Argentina, Russia, Namibia, Somalia, Greece, Croatia, Barbados, Japan, Ivory Coast, Jamaica, Finland, Venezuela, Turkey, Slovakia, Nicaragua, and our nation that God has had his hand on when the Native Americans were residing on this land. Hallelujah. God bless them to be the first to reside on this land. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for our nation, the United States of America. Hallelujah. That's been blessed by God, covered by God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, honor, and all the glory. Well, of course, one of the guest presenters was under major attack today, had to rush to the doctor and then get an MRI, and that is Minister Chadwick Harvey. And I'm going to open his mic right now. How you feeling, Minister Chadwick? Minister Chadwick, are you there?
Yes. Hey, Linda, I'm here.
Just tell me a little bit about how you're feeling.
Sure, yeah. I really appreciate it. Well, I'm doing better. You know, obviously they give you medication to take until we get the final MRI done. But it's been an attack since Passover, actually. It's so interesting that we're talking about this because ever since the evening of Passover, that next day, I've had a very big swollen knee. And, you know, Linda and I were a part of the Galilee Awakening broadcast in Israel, in all parts of the world, this Saturday. So I know it has to do with that, but, you know, I know God knows best. I know I'm going to be healed, and I just have to go through a process. But thank you for that, and I really appreciate your prayers.
Okay, Prophet Jermaine, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, could you pray for Chadwick right now, please? Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Minister Chadwick. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you for your mercy, grace, your love, and kindness. Father, we pray that you would touch his knee. God, we can't command the swelling to go down, Father, in the name of Jesus, that his knee will go back to the normal place, Father, that it was once before. Father, you said in your word that by your stripes, God, we are healed. You said in your word to heal from the destruction of the enemy. You said the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You said, Lord God, in your word that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord, he will raise them up. We thank you, Lord God, that there will be no damage in his knee of any kind, Father, in the name of Jesus, no structural damage, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, no ligament damage, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for your miraculous healing, your supernatural power touching them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, just like you healed my knee a few months ago, I know you're not a respected person, but Father, you said deliverance is a children's bread. So God, we release that word right now of healing, deliverance, and breakthrough, and we give you the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you both. I will bring them back on the broadcast when it's their turn to minister. I just wanted to say thank you to all the listeners. Hallelujah. I want to give a shout out to my niece Candace, my spiritual daughter Kimberly, Deacon Sherry. Thank you for calling in. Those that are streaming in from around the world and have chosen, even in this nation, to stream in, we give God all the glory, honor, and praise for you. Passover is very special to me. My grandmother was Jewish, and that gives me some blessing to have some Jewish roots, praise God, and I led her to Christ. And I think I've been blessed ever since. And I certainly love Israel, and God has provided for me to get there on many occasions, and again this year. So I wanted to just briefly say something about the ten virgins. And for some reason, the Bible gives us five wise and five that weren't wise, unwise. And I heard someone say that was appropriate enough to say that half the church is not going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Half the church. And I also heard a prophet say a couple of years ago that all of the body of Christ is not going to be ready. They're not going to go up in the rapture because you not only have to be saved, but you need to be on fire for God. Hallelujah. Yep. Not a minute here, a minute there, but on fire for God. So if you're not, then you can ask the Holy Spirit to bring you into that level where you hunger and thirst after Jesus and you become on fire for God. So I thank you for joining us. I'm just honored that we have a global ministry here and that God has blessed me with this platform. I don't take it lightly. He divinely provides for it every month, and I'm just honored. I'm honored to know the guest speakers, and God has chosen them to minister to us tonight. So Apostle Prophet Jermaine Johnson, you know, he lives in Delaware. I never even talk about that. And he's an author. He has some powerful books. But tonight he's going to give us what God has placed in his spirit on the power of Passover. God bless you, Prophet Jermaine. Thank you for praying for my friend Chadwick. He's all our friends now. And one day we'll be all together at some place, I believe God. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Prophet Jermaine, I really believe God because you and your wife were in that dream that I had that Chadwick and many other people were in and that I was in. So God's going to arrange a gathering at some point somewhere, and I just believe God that your precious wife, hallelujah, Prophetess Roberta Johnson, First Lady, that you both will be in our midst and we'll be together to fellowship in Jesus' name. So, Apostle, Prophet, Pastor Jermaine, it's all yours. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Evangelist Linda. Dear Linda, we thank God for you. We thank God for Gatekeepers brought a global cast. We thank God for that podcast. We thank God for what he's doing. We thank God for every preacher that's on tonight, Minister Chadwick, Bishop Brunson. Honor you tonight. We thank God for you. I honor my leaders, my spiritual leaders. I thank God for them. I thank God for my wife of 25 years and counting, Prophet Roberta Johnson. We'll be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we're talking about the power of Passover. Evangelinda touched on some things. I believe that we are truly in the last days as the body of Christ. These are the beginning of sorrows. The end is not yet, but these are the beginning of sorrows, what we're dealing with all over the world. I believe that things are being set in motion for the Antichrist to be revealed in the right season, in the right time. God is setting things. God is not surprised by anything that's happening. He's constantly and consistently in control. I believe that things are being set up for the one world order. I believe things are being set up for the church, the believers that have a relationship with Christ to be raptured up. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture today, but I believe the rapture is real. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, I believe that the rapture is truly, truly real. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up and meet them in the air. And Paul says we ought to comfort one another with these words. So we know that the church will be taken out of here before the tribulation time. I believe that with all my heart. And it behooves us as the body of Christ to be ready, be prepared. Just like Evangelist Leonard was saying about those five virgins, the five wives were prepared. They had their oil. They had everything they needed for the bridegroom when he came, everything that was required of them. So it behooves us to be ready. The foolish virgins were not ready, and they tried to borrow oil from those that were wise that already had theirs together. So we can't be caught off guard, because the bridegroom is coming in a time when no man knows the day nor the hour. He's coming as a thief in the night. But those of us that are born again, we're not in darkness. We are aware that he's coming, and we're preparing for that time. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I'm going to talk about a few things here. But we're talking about the power of the Passover. I won't be before you long. Just a few verses, and then I'll be out your way. It says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And, of course, we know the Passover is about what happened in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, when the children of Israel were about to be released from bondage under Pharaoh in Egypt. And God told Moses that he was going to bring one last thing against the Egyptians, and he was going to kill the firstborn of the Egyptian, the male firstborn. And the Bible said that he told the children of Israel to take the blood of a lamb and put it upon the doorpost and the side post of their door. And the death angel would pass over them. And they also had a feast of unleavened bread at that time let them understand that God didn't want any yeast in their house at that particular time. Why? Because he was preparing their hearts. He was preparing their hearts and letting them know their heart had to be pure before him. God was preparing them for what he was about to do, because the Bible said the pure at heart shall see the Lord. Jesus is our Passover, just like that blood of the lamb in the Old Testament caused the death angel to pass over the children of Israel in Egypt. The death angel is passing over us that are born again, because we have been translated from death to life because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus paid the ultimate price. The Bible said that because of his blood, we can enter into the holies of holies. It's the blood that makes the difference. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission for our sins. The Bible even tells us that Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall have no part of me." So we understand that the Passover is powerful. It's a powerful sacrament that we practice today. A lot of times we talk about it in the form of communion. But the Passover itself was about a passing over, a reminder to the children of Israel about God's divine protection, how God protected them, how he passed over them, how the blood covered them. And even in the New Testament time, we understand that the blood of Jesus is covering us. No matter what's going on, no matter what we're dealing with, even with this pandemic, we can know that the blood of Jesus is covering us, and it will cause the death angel to pass over. But eternally now, eternally, because Jesus is our Passover, guess what? Death does not have its hold on us like it would have had if we did not have Christ. The Bible says that death is the last enemy of God. God has defeated death through the blood of Jesus. He has defeated death because Jesus was raised from the dead. So we understand here, it says Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's dealing with some sin in the church. And he's telling them that they need to get some things in order. He said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." Purge out the old leaven, the things that are corrupting you, the things that are causing you to go in error, the things in your life that is sin, that is not pleasing to God. He said, "Purge therefore out the old leaven, that you may be one new lump." because there was some corruption in their body. There was a young man that was sleeping with his stepmother. The church knew about it. They talked about it. They was gossiping about it, but nobody was dealing with the situation and problem. So Paul said, listen, you need to purge out this old leaven. This young man won't repent. He won't get himself back in line with God. So you need to purge out that old leaven so you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, you don't have the corruption. Unleavened bread was bread without yeast. It was unleavened. It was uncorrupted. It wasn't marred in any kind of way. And so it says here, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ is the Passover that was sacrificed for us. Now, when the enemy comes and try to bring accusations from our past, he has to pass over. Why? Because of the blood. Now, when sickness tries to attack our body, it has to pass over because of the blood. And God did not say that we wouldn't be tested and tried, but we have to understand the weapon may be formed, but the Bible said that it will not prosper. It will not amount to anything. And then it says every tongue that comes against us, guess what? We can be deaf to the tongue. No tongue shall hurt us or do us any harm. Because why? We have power from God to overcome every tactic of the enemy. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that speaks against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. So we need to understand, we have power through the Passover, which is Christ Jesus. He was sacrificed for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He made the ultimate price. He paid the ultimate price. Why? So that we can come into the kingdom of God. It says, therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us keep the Passover, not with the old leaven, not with that leaven that got the yeast in it and the corruption and the wickedness and the sin and the evil, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. One thing that we got to be in the kingdom of God, we got to be real. And we got to walk in the truth of God's word. The Bible says we shall be sanctified by the word, and the word of God is truth. We know that the truth will make us free. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But before that, it says you shall continue in my word, and you shall be my disciple. So we know the word of God is truth. It's the bread of sincerity and truth. So not only do we have his blood, but we have to have the bread of sincerity and truth. It's not enough just to have the blood of Jesus, but the body of Jesus was important in the Passover. The body, hallelujah, the body represents the bread. Come on. It has to be in sincerity and truth. We have to make sure that we're in line with what God is doing according to his word. Church Passover is not something that we take lightly, but it's something that represents and shows us the power of God, how he came, and he died, and he showed us the way to go. He showed us the way to walk. He showed us the things to do, but he became the ultimate sacrifice that we may live, that we might have life and that abundant life. We don't just have life in the kingdom of God, but the Bible says we have abundant life. So Jesus Christ is our Passover. I don't care what's attacking you today. If you got the blood in your life, come on. You got the body of Jesus Christ in your life, come on. We are a part of his body. We are a part of body, and he is the bread from heaven. Guess what? If we have him, the Bible said greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we understand from the word of the Lord here that Paul is saying, listen, therefore let us keep the feast. Come on. Let us keep the feast this Passover, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If we're going to do what we're doing for God, we have to be real with God, and we got to walk in the truth of his word, sincerity, honesty, and truth. The Bible tells us to provide things honest before all men, and it tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. All those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All God is calling his church to order. He's calling his church to order so that we can understand that, guess what, this ain't just something we do. Communion is not just something that we do, but we show the Lord's death until he comes. That's why the Bible tells us when it comes to communion that we got to be careful. We can't just take it any kind of way. We can't just take it half-heartedly. We can't take it with anything in our life, but we have to understand we got to take it discerning the Lord's body. It said because some did not discern the Lord's body. The Bible says that some were asleep among them. Some had died, and some were even sickly. Why? Because they did not honor. They did not honor the Passover. They did not understand. They did not understand what it represents. They didn't understand that it's a memorial of God passing over, God's mercy, his grace. Come on, coming and causing us not to get the things that we deserve. Why? Because of his mercy, because of his loving kindness. He passed over them. Guess what? He could have destroyed the Israelites just like he destroyed the Egyptians, but guess what? The blood caused them to be passed over. And just like the blood today is causing us, come on, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. God will cause him to pass over and not be able to come against his children. The Bible said the wicked one touches us not. Why? Because we keep his commandments. We walk according to his word. Oh, we have a Passover, and his name is Jesus. Every time the enemy comes, oh, hallelujah, all he sees is the blood. And every time he sees the blood, he has to pass over. Come on. He can't not do what he want to do to the body of Christ. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is covering our life. He is causing the enemy to pass over the body of Christ. There is power in the Passover. In Jesus' name, amen.
You preach like there's power. Hallelujah. Power of Passover. My God, hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle Jermaine. I appreciate you, man. Now I'm going to bring on my friend, Minister Chadwick Harvey. You know, he has two books. And when I first had him on the broadcast, I gave him 12 weeks every Thursday night to minister on end time prophecy. And that is on our website. You can scroll down through the pages, www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, just in case you were writing it down. And there's 12 pages, and there's 10 or 12 ministry broadcasts on each page. And so I'm honored to have these guests on tonight, powerful men of God. We open the broadcast with a word on the power of Passover, and there was power in Apostle Jermaine's voice. I could feel it. I could feel the anointing power of the Holy Spirit on him. God is glorified when we talk about, sing about the blood of Jesus. What a terrifying thing he had to allow his son to go through just for us. And we know he's not still on that cross, but we know what he has gone through. There's a song called "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord." Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I love that song. Hallelujah. So, Minister Chadwick, your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Linda. It's always great to be with you and also the other speakers. Thank you for Mr. Jermaine, such a powerful message, and looking forward to the bishop's message as well. And I'm going to hit on this Passover door as well. I've been calling it the Passover 2020 door. I believe we've entered into these incredible times that we all know. If you're spiritually awakened right now, I don't think there's any question that you're looking around, you're understanding what Messiah said in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. You understand what the biblical prophets have been saying about how things are going to get at the end of the age. Paul himself as well. And whenever we look at this Passover 2020 and back up a little bit before, and we see the coronavirus just basically shutting down the door, shutting down the globe. The whole globe is shut down. And it happened right along this Exodus from Egypt account, this template, if you will. It's so amazing. The first Exodus from Egypt occurred about 3,332 years ago, and it was on the same exact day, Wednesday, as Passover 2020 was. Well, guess what? They were all quarantined in their homes with the blood of the Lamb. Well, so were we with the blood of the Lamb on our doors. As we know, Jesus is the door. He is the Passover door. John 10 states that. Book of Revelation states that. Psalms 118, this is the gate. This is the door of righteousness, and we will go through it. You know, that's basically a messianic psalm of King David, who wrote that for Messiah when he was being crucified. They would sing that song, bind the sacrifice to the cords of the altar, you know, the horns of the altar. That's talking about Messiah's death. So it's very important to realize where we are in this moment we're in, the season that we're in, because it relates to the Passover door. Throughout history, when we look at doors and we know that Messiah is the door, we think of Noah's door. If you remember Noah, the Noah account, the Lord shut him in. He shut Noah in. He saved Noah from the whole world drowned, but he and his family lived. Eight people lived. Then we go to the Exodus door, which we just mentioned. The blood was on the lintels, the blood of the Lamb. He is our blood of the Lamb. So I believe he's given us these templates in the Bible to understand that he is the door. And there are certain markers in time, in history, that we can look back to and say, you know what, that was a good marker that he was trying to get our attention as a globe, as the believers, as the church, that things are about to escalate from this point forward. And I certainly believe that with this Passover 2020 door. You know, we've come through this Passover 2020 door, and now when we look at the template, if we're on this Exodus of template, because the whole world is on notice at this time, there's not one person that cannot stand before God and say, well, you didn't warn me, it was going to get bad. Okay, he's warned everybody, the globe, the believers, especially the believers, so that we can rise up and shine as bright as the stars, bright as the firmament in heaven, and we can slip into our prophetic calling that we're living in at this time of the end. Okay, because certainly I agree with Brother Jermaine, we're in the beginning of sorrows. I don't think there's any question about that when you read Matthew 24, verse 3 through 8. We're definitely wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, diseases, famines, earthquakes, all of these things we're seeing rapidly in the velocity of them coming to fruition, especially after 1948 when Israel was a state again, a born again, if you will, as a country. So the Passover door that we're entering into, and yes, Messiah Jesus is our Passover. He is the Passover lamb. He is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Of course he is. But what these doors that we're going to, these markers that we're going on, is very important for us to understand as we go forward into this, because I do believe he's doing a final threshold right now. Once we get through this Passover door, which we are, we got today and tomorrow, and Passover for 8 days, unleavened bread will be finished. And I believe we're stepping into a new season, okay, to where if you follow the template, they went to Mount Sinai, they worshiped the golden calf. So when we get through the coronavirus, which I believe we will, okay, everything's looking very positive of getting back to as normal as we can be, if you will, then I believe we have a choice to make, to either go to our golden calf that he has broken, because he has broken every idol that we have been associated with. He's broken sports idols, entertainment idols, health idols, you name it, TV. He's broken everything, wealth, every idol he has broken, just like he did in Egypt, okay, 3,300 years ago. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, the idols that we have broken during this time, are we going to go back to them, or are we going to go forward and be like Joshua and Caleb and get the good report and enter into the promised land of our calling? That's the things that we have to pray about, meditate on, and petition the Lord for us to be cleansed and purged, because that's what he's doing. He's doing a purging of the world. He's allowed this. He's caused this. However you want to look at it, he's definitely at least allowed this, because he has broken down every segment of society, every idol, mega churches, you name it. He's crushed everything and letting everybody know that the real church is house to house and throughout the four corners of the world from what it was originally intended. So I do believe we're at a very transitional marker between right now and in the future with Passover. And we've just got to accept our calling, petition our calling, open the books, and plead the blood of the Lamb on our life, because the blood of the Lamb cures all. We need to be coated with the grace upon us so that we can step into our calling at this time, because he is doing that final threshold, that winnowing that we read in Matthew 3:12, where he separates the wheat from the tare. Okay, that's what he's doing right now, because the tares will fall into the great apostasy. Okay, the wheat are going to shine brighter than ever before. As the dark gets darker, we get brighter. We shine brighter. So that's what's going on. There's been a lot of confirmations with that, with the people I've networked with Linda, et cetera, that he is calling his people in all four corners of the world to understand that we have entered. This is the final marker in my mind of the beginning of sorrows. That if anybody had any doubts, we were living in the beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24, then this is definitely the confirmation, because the whole globe is on notice. Every believer is on notice. No one has an excuse going forward. So we just have to take this opportunity. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm just as excited as I've ever been, you know, about where we are, because we can see these things starting to culminate of the biblical prophets and everything. And this is a very important marker. I do believe there's going to be awesome days and there's going to be terrible days, just like the prophet Joel said. It's going to be great to see these things happen, but, excuse me, unfortunate when we see people pass away, et cetera. So we just have to put our body of honor on, put the blood of the Lamb all over us, plead Psalms 40, which is Messiah wanting to fulfill his book in the courts of heaven. We want to take his blood, because we're sinful. We want to take his blood, wash us clean, and we want to step into our calling at this time, because we are living at the greatest time since Messiah's first coming events. And my friends, you and I have the privilege, the honor, and the blessing to step into such a time as this to do great things for the Lord, for his kingdom right now, and to get people to open their eyes and to look around and see what's going on in the world, because our Messiah is coming back very, very soon. The Passover Lamb is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he's coming back as here very shortly, in my opinion. And when we look at these things, we look at where we are on God's prophetic timeline. We look at all of the prophets. We look at 1948. We look at 1967, which is when the children of Israel recaptured Jerusalem. These are markers. They're big markers. Israel is a marker. You're seeing the Jewish people go back to the promised land, another end of the age marker. You're seeing all the enemies surround them. Look at Israel. Look at the Islamic nations around them. That's what they're talking about. It's the Islamics. It's the family feud they have over there. Isaac versus Jacob. Ishmael versus Isaac. That's what it's about. It's about a family affair over the deed to the land, the Abrahamic, the Davidic, and the New Covenant. It really goes back to the Abrahamic covenant. So we're in this time frame, friends, right now, that we need to be opening our eyes, just like the wise virgins, just like Lyndon Jermaine said, the wise virgins. We don't want to be foolish. We want to have our lamps trimmed, okay, because things are only going to escalate from here. If you keep up with the biblical prophets, if you keep up with Messiah's words, read Matthew 24. It talks about tribulation next after the beginning of sorrows, then the great tribulation with the Antichrist, and then he'll return, you know, after that. So it's very important for us to understand. And for those that are interested in the rapture, we all believe in the rapture. I believe that's very clear in the scriptures. And no matter where you put it, if it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pan-trib, or whatever trib, it really doesn't matter, because we need to be prepared no matter what. No matter what, if we have something wrong in our doctrine or whatever it may be, and if it's not pre-trib, if it's not mid-trib, we need to be prepared mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and everything, just in case we do have to fight this fight, so to speak. So the Antichrist will not be revealed until a certain time. And so whenever people come up with all these Antichrist people, Trump or Obama or Putin or whoever, it's just laughable, because it's in the wrong geography, number one. And number two, it's not the appointed time yet. There's got to be a couple more wars in the Middle East and Daniel, and then he'll rise after that time, at that time. So do I think we're close? Absolutely. I think we're very close, especially with this, what's occurred with the last pestilence. I believe that that final marker of the beginning of sorrow. So, friends, it's just very important to understand where we are on God's prophetic timeline. When you look, everywhere you look, the Olivet Discourse with Messiah, beginning of sorrows. Well, then we got tribulation, then great tribulation. Then we look at Daniel's four kingdoms. Okay, this sealed to the time of the end. So we're starting to see these kingdoms come to fruition. We're seeing the markers of 48, of 67, of all these other things of the Jewish people returning home, etc. You're seeing the signs in the skies. They're God's skies. They're his celestial bodies, solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, blood moons on his feast days. We've got all of these markers in place because he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get the believer's attention that we've got to step into the days of Acts. We've got to step into the days of Elijah. We all sing these songs, but what do they really mean? Well, the days of Acts were persecution. Okay, the days of Elijah were persecution as well, but a great revival as well. So I believe there's going to be a great revival for the wheat that step through this Passover door. Don't turn back to the golden calf. Then I believe that those who do turn back will be a part of the great apostasy. I pray not, but that's just my personal opinion in a summary way that he is doing a final threshold, just like he said in Matthew 3:12. And I think there's going to be a great revival. Hopefully we can continue to see this going of what we're seeing online and people going back into the, being on fire for the Lord and doing their part in God's kingdom. Hopefully we'll be able to continue to see that, you know, going forward so that we can put the body of armor on and protect us and put the blood of the Lamb, the Passover. You know, the Passover door is very important. We should always understand the Passover door and the power of the blood of the Lamb. I always pray that. I try to pray in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. I always mention that, the power of the blood of the Lamb, because it is a legal transaction in the courts of heaven, okay? It will move kingdoms, the blood of the Lamb will. It will move your book. It will move decisions, pleading the blood of the Lamb and understand the power and the authority that it has. Satan has no power or authority over the blood of the Lamb whatsoever. So it's important for us to understand that when we're praying for our personal lives and stepping into our calling that God wants us to in his kingdom, that we pray in the name and blood of Jesus. The power and the authority anoint us with that, because as he says, we can do nothing without him and without his precious blood. So as we enter into this special time, we've already gone through the Passover door. We've got two more days of what they do Passover, the unleavened bread, and then we're stepping into a new dimension, I believe, for the believers who wants to fulfill the Daniel 12, shine as bright as the stars and as the firmament. We'll have an opportunity to do that. And then the ones that won't, I believe that they will fall away. So I believe the Passover door is very important. And even when we look, I forgot to mention this earlier, the first Passover ever was when Adam and Eve, when God, obviously he killed an animal to have coat skins for them. Okay, so they couldn't have coat skins unless there was an animal being sacrificed for that. So we have to understand, even then, there was already a foreshadow of the blood of our Lamb, Messiah, that was sacrificed for all of our sins. You know, and all of our sins were on him that day when he was crucified and when he conquered death and rose from the tomb. So, friends, I just wanted to share that. I think the Passover 2020 door is very important. And I think when we look back in a year or so, we're going to look back to see how important it is. Really, because of how it aligns with everything, with the first Passover, with the coronavirus, everybody's locked in, and he's getting everybody's attention. So just pay attention to the biblical prophets, to the world events, and I pray that you step into your prophetic calling as we enter into this final period.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. What a powerful word on the power of Passover. Also, we are believing, we prayed for Minister Chadwick earlier on the broadcast, and we are believing for total healing. Who has problems with their knees right now? I know that I had a problem with mine, and I went to the doctors, and she referred me to get some Move Free, which is sold in Walmart over the counter, and it has really helped. So I've been doing that every day for almost a year now. And when I went to the doctor, the knee doctor, he told me my cartilage was fine, but it was just a little muscle that he calls the young athlete's muscle that needed to be strengthened. So right now I feel led by the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, to pray for anybody that's listening or will be listening that has a knee problem, either your left knee or your right knee. Lay your hand on it right now, Candace. Lay your hand on it, whoever's listening with a knee problem. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for your healing virtue that you released to the woman with the issue of blood from the hem of your garment. We pull on the hem of your garment right now, God. And we ask, God, that you move by your spirit over the earth. That you would touch every knee of every listener that has a knee problem right now. We bind the swelling. We bind the pain. We command them to go from your knees right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We loose the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the healing power, the healing virtue of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Minister Chadwick. Mm-hmm. Always an honor and a blessing when you minister. Hallelujah. I like it when the men and women of God minister just from the word, not what they think it is, not their opinion, not motivational speaker, but just from the word. So we bless God tonight, and Lord, we thank you for healing the knees tonight. Thank you, Minister Chadwick. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, praise God. I'm excited because after the bishop ministers for a minute, however long the Lord leads him, we are going to take communion. I told you we weren't going to be long. So I just want to introduce him properly. He has been on the broadcast before. He ministered on After the Mud, and it was a powerful, powerful broadcast. And I got that topic from the Holy Spirit, and I think when I gave it out to my brothers and sisters in Christ to minister on it, it was kind of different. But you could go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry and scroll through the archives, and you'll find After the Mud, where Bishop is ministering on there with two or three other powerful anointed speakers. But Bishop E. John E. Bronson, hallelujah,
praise
a
God.
35-year ordained, anointed, and consecrated prophetic five-fold ministry in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Founder and president of Greater Gospel Way Fellowship Incorporated Ministry Entity. Pastor of Christ Community Church in Belzoni, Mississippi. Honored to have you, Bishop. I'm excited about you being on the broadcast again. And I'm just elated that you would take your time to minister for us on this platform. So, and I want to just bless God for your wife, your First Lady Bronson. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you and your church family. Your mic is open. God bless you, sir.
Glory to God. God bless you, evangelist. What an humble privilege it is to be a part of your ministry this evening, a part of your program. I give God the glory for such an appointed time. If you would allow me just for a moment, just to acknowledge God in prayer, because it's very important that the men of God speak, and women, directly from the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Scriptures were written by holy men of old as they were inspired by God. So it is our desire this afternoon that we tap into the revelations of the Holy Spirit, glory be to God, and speak a revelant word from the Spirit of the Lord on this afternoon. Father, we give you honor, praise, and glory. We thank you for the Spirit revelation moving this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, that our tongues are the pen of a ready writer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for giving us vision in your word. opening the eyes of our understanding. We forever give you honor and glory and praise. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, just let your spirit go out throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you again, and to give God the honor and the glory for the privilege and opportunity for speaking this afternoon and sharing in what you're doing here in the body of Christ. What a timely topic, the power of the Passover. Glory to God. After we have just passed Resurrection Sunday, we know that 50 days after, glory be to God, the resurrection came the Passover. Hallelujah. That fell on the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit came, I want to reflect on the revelation of the power of the Passover, because the Passover is not just an earthly thing. So many times people look at what is going on in the body of Christ and look at how God has dealt with his people throughout history in the past, especially under the dispensation of the law when Moses led the people out and led them through the wilderness, and how that the scriptures say that Jesus Christ was that rock that followed them in the wilderness, and they see the thing that God did for his people and how that he delivered them time and time again. And without a true understanding of what God really is doing in the midst of his people, I was giving God the praise and the glory, what the minister was saying just before me, that the first Passover was in the Garden of Eden. We know that in the Bible, this is the first account of God shedding blood. This is the first account of blood being shed in the Bible. After that, Adam and Eve had sinned and separated themselves from God. We know that the Bible tells us that the Lord killed two animals. He shed the blood of two animals, and he took the coats of skin, and he covered Adam and Eve with those coats of skin to cover their shame. And we know the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Glory be to God. And that shedding of the blood that took place there in that garden, because God is righteous, because he is holy, because he is light and in him is no darkness at all, God shed that blood of covenant, that he could still have communion with man. Because had he not shed the blood, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin would have prevailed the very moment that Adam and Eve sinned. But the Lord, he came with redemption in his mind in the cool of the evening to seek reconciliation with man. Now, we're going to back up, and I'm going to begin reading here. I'll read several passages of scriptures. We won't read a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of time this afternoon, and we're going to condense this, and we're going to acknowledge the different places of covenant, and we're going to talk about the power of Passover. I want to call your attention back to the book of Revelations, chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and I pray that God give you an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this afternoon, because we're living in a time where Jesus Christ is preparing to come back. He's preparing to manifest himself. Yes, I believe that the beginning of sorrows are here because there's so much devastation that is taking place in our land. But church, we are under a covenant or in a covenant relationship with God. We don't know how far we're going to go into this time of tribulation that is rapidly approaching, But we know that Romans 8:28 tells us, and this we know, that all things work together for the good to them that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. We know that this is a devastating time for the world, those that don't believe in God, and also for the church, because we are being affected by this as well. But we know that before the full pledge of the tribulation take hold upon this world, that Jesus Christ is going to come and stop short of the earth and say, come, my people, because we have a covenant with him. We have the power of the Passover working on our behalf. Just as the word of God spoke in the book of Exodus when the Lord was preparing to bring Israel out of Egypt, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Now here we are. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The power of Passover is that covenant that stands behind the Passover. The Passover, that blood, is a symbol of the covenant that is ratified by God. We see here there was a strong angel standing before the throne. God the Father was sitting on the throne, and there was a book in his hand. This angel was proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? And the Bible tells us that John the Revelator was weeping and he was crying because there was no man found in heaven or earth or under the earth who was worthy to open the book, to loose the seals, or to look thereupon. He wept much. Glory to God. John wept much because he had an earthly view. He wrote the words of the revelation on the Isle of Patmos as God gave it to him. He had an earthly view as the Holy Spirit inspired him and revealed the word to him. But one of the 24 elders who is before the throne of God, casting their crowns before him, saying, worthy, glory be to God. One of them said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof and to look thereupon. He was worthy. And the scriptures say there, in the midst of the throne came forth a little lamb, as he had been slain, having seven eyes, seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God that goes throughout the earth. That lamb has made his full circle back to heaven. That lamb represents every covenant that has been cut between God and Jesus and man on the earth since before time began. That first lamb is Jesus Christ. he was offered up in heaven. Because before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had an alternative plan. Before they sinned and fell short of the glory of God and revealed their nakedness, there was a little lamb that came from under the altar in the midst of the throne, as he had already been slain. He was slain in heaven, glory to God, before he came here on earth. The covenant was ratified between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were in agreement to the work that the three of them would agree in one, that Jesus would come, that he would become flesh and live here on the earth. He trusted God so much so until the Bible say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He surrendered unto the will of God so much so until he was willing to wrap himself up as the Word of God and get into the mouth of an angel by the name of Gabriel and come down to earth in the Holy Spirit, wherein Gabriel spoke a word by the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored of God." Jesus did not have an earthly father, but down through 42 generations, he came to redeem man with his blood. Now we see God cutting covenant in the garden with Adam. That 42 generations began with Abraham. God cut covenant with Abraham. He found him and called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, glory to God, and told him that he was going to take him to a place that he was going to show him. And Abraham was obedient to God. He came out, and God entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham. And he told him that his seed would go into bondage for 400 years. And when that time was fulfilled, the Lord told him that he was going to judge the nation that had held them captive, and he was going to bring them out, and they would not go out empty. And we know the first Passover for the nation of Israel was after this manner. Praise God. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to their house, to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of souls. Every man make your count for the lamb." Over in verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." The power of the Passover is the covenant that it represents. The Passover, when we celebrate the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, which is truly Jesus Christ, everything else is a symbol of that lamb that came in the midst of that altar. That happened before time began. It manifested in earth on Calvary. The glory of God shining on Calvary reflected Jesus Christ, that lamb, back to this night in Egypt, which was the first Passover for the children of Israel. This was a type and a symbol of Christ that was on the cross, who had been crucified, who had been slain in heaven before he came to the earth. It was a reflection of what God had already done. Many times we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And we're living in a time now where the church of God should be sanctifying herself, not as a religion, but sanctifying herself as God has set her aside for the purpose and the calling of God. Purifying our hearts, purifying our spirits, purifying our mind, seeking God in the Word, purifying ourselves as we see that the time is short and the day is rapidly approaching where we're going to meet our Lord and risen Savior in the air. For the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. We are rapidly approaching that. And I want you to know today, we're not exempt from the things that are taking place in this world. The Bible tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, God delivers. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Precious in the eyes are the death of a saint. In the eyes of the Lord is the death of a saint. So if God called us out of this earth before he come and get the church, he's only calling us from labor to reward, because we have the power of the Passover. We have the blood applied to our life. We're in a covenant relationship with him. So now is the time for those that are pleading the blood of Jesus Christ to be for certain that you are in covenant relationship with God, because the power of the Passover lies within the covenant that it represents. In Abraham, God told him, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. He told Abraham that in him shall the seed of all men be blessed. 42 generations, starting from Abraham to where Jesus Christ came into the earth. The Lord came down in a natural body to redeem us. And that was in that same covenant that Abraham had cut with God. But those animals, the Bible says, sacrifices and offerings I desire not, but a body that I prepare to offer up for the sins of the world. With those sacrifices, there was a continual remembrance, glory to God, of sin each year. So much so that under that Abrahamic covenant, that the high priest would have to first offer up a sacrifice for his sins, and then offer up a sacrifice for the sins of the people, and then go into the holies of holies to make intercession for the people of God. But we have a high priest who have entered into the holies of holies, into the heavenly, seated at the right hand of the Father. Once and for all, there is no remembrance of our sin. For when God forgive us, he casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. Jesus said that as often as you do eat of his body and drink of his blood, you do show forth his death until he come. The blood that was shed on Calvary, the body that was offered up there on that cross. For when he stopped by the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, remove the cup. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That body that was bruised, for he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That same body that was crucified on Calvary, that blood that was shed on that resurrection morning when Mary went to touch him and she asked, if you knew where my Savior was, if you knew where they laid him, and Jesus called her name and said, Mary, and she turned and said, Rabboni, my Lord and my Savior. Jesus said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to your God and my God, my Lord and your Lord. She could not touch him because earthly hands would have contaminated the body that did not have an earthly father. For he was born of the Holy Spirit. Had he been born of Adam, we would yet have that sinful nature. Glory be to God. But because Jesus did not have an earthly father, we are born anew without a sinful nature. That is why we must be born again. He took that blood and he took that body without allowing hands, without allowing Mary to touch him. And he took that blood into heaven. He took that body into heaven. The Paschal Lamb that appeared in Revelation chapter 5 made his full circle when he took it back to heaven. Glory be to God. Post-resurrection. Hallelujah. And now we have him alive in our hearts through the Spirit. Jesus told his disciples as a whole that except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And many of them said, that's a hard saying. And they turn away. They couldn't walk with him anymore. But tonight, even though it's a symbol, tonight we eat of his body and we drink of his blood. The blood is the token of the new covenant. It is the token of the new covenant. The blood that was shed by the Passover lamb is the token of the covenant. The token represents the covenant. Hallelujah. The power of Passover is that it was done by God in heaven, and every time man does it symbolically upon the earth, it shows forth the symbol of God's covenant upon our life. Through Jesus Christ. We love God tonight. If you haven't applied the blood to the doors of your heart, then we're going to prepare and break the bread, which is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. And we're going to partake of the token. This is the token of the new covenant. This is the token of marriage. It's a ring. Glory to God. It represents covenant. This represents covenant. So when you say, when a devil comes against you and you say, I plead the blood of Jesus, what you're saying is that I'm in covenant with God and you have no place. Glory be to God. I'm in covenant with God. When Jesus got up from the dead, he arose with all power in his hand. Glory to God. He said, because I live, you shall live also. We have the power. Glory to God. Of the Passover lamb. Because he came and he hung out on Mount Calvary. When they came to break his legs, they said he was already dead. But Jesus said, no man take my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I have received authority to pick it up again. And they pierced him in the side with the sword. And out came water. and the blood. Thank God for the blood today. Glory be to God, because he became our sin. I don't care what you have done in this world, what you have done upon this earth, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from your sins. Oh, we love you tonight. And I'm going to briefly yield, if I need to, yield to Evangelist Linda before we go and do the communion. Praise God. God bless you.
Well, I think everybody is prepared. I think I've made enough announcements on social media for people to bring their matzah, their bread, cracker, pita, along with their juice or water while they're listening to the broadcast. So I'm hoping that everybody is prepared right now so you can take it from here, Bishop.
Praise God. Would you like me to do the benediction and prayer, and you? How would you like to end it?
Glory. No, you're going to do the benediction, and then I'll close the broadcast.
Praise God. Glory to God. On the night of the first Passover with the nation of Israel, they ate bitter herbs. And that bitter herb was to remind them of the bitterness of slavery, of all the years that they had suffered hardship. But on this particular night, that herb that they ate was the final bitter herb. Glory to God. Reminds me of what Jesus told his disciples, that he would not any longer eat the bread and have this supper with them until he do it in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to read to you very briefly in the book of 1 Corinthians. The lamb that was sacrificed in heaven and every covenant, all the blood that has been shed on earth between on behalf of Jesus Christ, for our behalf, it started in heaven and it represented the actual lamb, which is Christ, that was crucified on Calvary. So Jesus said, for as often as you do this, every time we do this, we do show forth his death. We raise the token, glory to God, of the Paschal Lamb, which is the blood and his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Father, we bless the symbol in Jesus' name. Eat all of it. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Father, we bless the cup in Jesus' name. Drink all of it. Let us now look unto the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in humble submission, we come before you this evening. And we extend our hands to our brothers and to our sisters across the land, because you told us that we were chosen and foreordained before the foundation of the world, that we might show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. To those who have not made Jesus Lord over their lives, for our salvation was not purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but it was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We extend our hands to them right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that they would open up their heart, that they would respond to the knock that you're doing upon their heart, and that they will receive you. Time is of the essence. Father, we thank you right now that the Spirit will quicken in their hearts, that things will not go back to the way that they were. Glory to God. But they will go after the counsel of your will. We give you honor and praise right now, Father, that we're not looking for things to go back the way that they were. But as we are rapidly making our way to be prepared for you to come, we want to be walking after the counsel of your will, just as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it be possible, remove the cup, but nevertheless, thy will be done. We know that you're in control of all things, Father. We know that you have this whole circumstance. We know that nothing has happened that you didn't allow, Father, because you have all power in your hand. And we're asking right now for our brothers and our sisters, Father, who have renewed the covenant in the name of Jesus Christ, to make their calling and election sure, to make full proof of their ministry, Lord, that we become more diligent, Lord, and that we prepare ourselves and that we go forth wholeheartedly and that we're true to the covenant, Lord, that we've made with you. Not only when we're with the brothers and sisters, Lord, but as we walk about every day. For you said in your word in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're trusting our families to you tonight. We're trusting our friends, O God, unto you tonight. We're pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, over all that are dear to everyone that are gathered here, everyone within the sounds of our voice around the globe, O God. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are pleading the blood, O God, after the same manner that you said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Glory to God. And we know that in the Passover that there is a turning, O God. We give you honor and praise, O God, that this thing that is resting in our land, we execute dominion by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you be exalted, because the solution is in your spirit. Heal and deliver. Father, set the captive free. Send forth the answer. Send forth the antidote. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we are in a covenant relationship with you, and we trust you, Lord. We honor you right now in the name of Jesus. Accept him as Lord over your life. In Jesus' name, praise God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, just lift your hands and worship. Just lift your hands and give him wherever you are. Wherever you are, just lift your hands. Glory to God. His spirit has a connection here tonight.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter where you are. There's no distance in the Holy Spirit. Right now, in the name of Jesus, just lift your hands and give him glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God rest where you are right now. Father, we worship you. in the name that's above every name, for healing, Lord. You said your mercies are renewed as the morning, in the name of Jesus. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. Praise God Almighty. Worship.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless you. Deliverance is for you right now. Whatever have you bound, just
Hallelujah.
Release it. Glory to God. Whatever thing is troubling you right now, just give it to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Jesus Christ set you free right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Just lift your hand. Lord, I surrender. I give it to you.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's too high for me, Lord. It's too
Hallelujah.
Great for me, Father. In the name of Jesus, I cast my cares upon you. I trust you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I surrender my heart, my life. I surrender unto you, O God. We don't see the way, but we know that Jesus is the way. We know that you have
Hallelujah.
The body of Christ, Lord. We know you want to forsake us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we bless you right now.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We release the blessings of God upon you right now. Comfort ye, my people, say the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Speak comfortably unto Israel, unto Jerusalem, because your warfare has been accomplished. You have your spiritual breakthrough.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah, my Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah, my Lord, hallelujah. Thank you.
The Passover was a coming out. This is your coming out time. Come on out of it. Glory to God.
Thank
the
you,
devil
Lord.
Can't hold you bound anymore. Come on out of it. Hallelujah. And come into what God has purposed for you to have in the spirit
Thank
of God.
You, Jesus.
Glory to God. Jesus Christ sets you free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He sets you free. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless your
he
name,
able
Lord.
To get
bless your name.
Praise. Glory. Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you. But I've been filled again by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's His grace
yes.
and His mercy. Hallelujah. We bow to you, your grace, your majesty. Hallelujah. We bow before you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. My my Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, there's just nothing else to say. I'm going to close the broadcast as the Holy Spirit continues to minister to you. God bless you. Make sure that only what you do for Christ will last. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Yes. Only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you, Bishop. I'm honored.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Powerful, powerful ministry. God bless you, sir.
Privilege.
Good night, everyone. Thank you, Jesus.